Hello, everyone. This is Brian Hobbs. Thank you for tuning into this episode. Today, we're going to be talking about the Rose Day Pro-Life Rally. In a moment, we'll be hearing from the keynote speakers from the 2026 Rose Day event, a mother-daughter, Kara and Mia Armstrong, who have an incredible story about how God worked through difficult circumstances to bring Himself glory and to promote the value of all life. Since the 1990s, Oklahoma Baptists have been part of the annual Rose Day Pro-Life Rally, which brings together hundreds of pro-life Oklahomans and people of faith every year to encourage our lawmakers to put a stop to abortion in our state and to promote a culture of life. Now, tune in now to hear Kara and Mia Armstrong share their stirring remarks from the 2026 Rose Day event, and go to roseday.life to find out more information. Thank you for listening in on this speech right now.
Well, before I ever held a microphone in my hand or ever stood at a podium, I was just a mom receiving news that I never thought that I would hear, that the daughter I had dreamed about my whole life, the one that I had prayed for, might have Down syndrome. As a matter of fact, she likely would have Down syndrome. In an instant, the future that I had imagined just disappeared. My dreams didn't gently shift, they were displaced. And then came the voices, internal voices, professional voices, trusted voices, and they got louder and louder. At the time, I was an emergency room nurse in a busy Los Angeles hospital. I was saving lives beside people that I trusted and loved. And one by one, they would call me into the medication room or into the break room and say things like, "You don't have to do this. You can end this. You realize if you have this baby, you'll be ruining your life." One doctor that I worked with, he was one of my favorites, handsome, a boldly professed atheist, met me in the hallway one day at the hospital, and he put his arm around me and he said, "Kara, I get it, you're religious, but when are you gonna get rid of that thing? That thing." I wish I could tell you that I was fearless in that moment, that I had the right Bible verse in my pocket, but I didn't. I was scared and I was heartbroken, if I'm telling the truth. And for a moment, I let the world whisper into my ear, "This life is going to destroy yours." But even then, God was not destroying my dreams. He was just relocating them. What felt like captivity to me was actually His invitation. Scripture shows us this pattern again and again. Joseph, betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, imprisoned, yet Genesis 50:20 tells us, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Moses, displaced as a baby, exiled as a man, yet God used him to lead a nation to freedom. And Mary, an unwed mother, a teenage mom, whose reputation was marred by a miracle the world did not understand, said in Luke 1:38, "I'm the Lord's servant, may it be done to me according to your word." Three stories, three displacements, one unmistakable truth. God does not wait for perfect conditions. He releases purpose in the middle of disruption. The world looks at an unplanned pregnancy or a prenatal diagnosis and as inconvenient and says, "End it." But God looks at the same circumstances and says, "This is where I'll show my glory." Throughout my pregnancy, abortion was offered constantly, at every appointment, at every turn. And I considered myself a Christian woman of deep faith. But my faith was being tested, and I was failing the test. I didn't trust God's plan for my child, and to be truthful, I was really spiraling. When Mia was born, she was beautiful. She was pink, peaceful, perfect. And yes, she had Down syndrome. I didn't celebrate right away. I couldn't. I was still struggling. Therapies began right away. Speech therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy. And slowly, but by God's grace, and looking into her beautiful almond-shaped eyes, like Catherine's over there, joy began to return to my life. And one day, I found the courage to bring Mia back to the emergency room where I worked to visit. It had been 3 years since that doctor had wrapped his arm around me and spoke that curse over her life. Mia wore bright yellow Doc Marten boots, the only thing she'd keep on her feet, and rainbow striped leggings. She had little bouncy ponytails and a bright smile, and my nurse friends were like, I know what would be fun. Let's give her the warm blankets and have her go into every single room and deliver them to the patients. And so she did. She accepted her assignment, and she brought great joy. And then it happened. That same doctor, the one who had once told me to end her life, was walking down a shared corridor, a narrow hallway in our emergency department, and there was no way for him to avoid us. Mia dropped the blanket that she was holding. She ran straight into his arms. She wrapped her arms around his neck and pulled him into her embrace. He dropped to his knees. I watched his face change as he held her, and he was holding back tears and trying not to look at me. Standing in that hallway that day, I witnessed something sacred. Right there in his arms was a child, not a choice, not a medical chart, not a diagnosis, not a statistic. He met the image of God in the embrace of a little girl named Mia Armstrong that morning. And I saw that man's heart be confronted by truth. Years later, a very unexpected thing happened to our family. Mia was invited to meet with an entertainment agent who was representing individuals with disabilities and differences in commercials. And she was representing people in television and in film. And the agent wanted to add Mia to her diversity department, because faces like hers, once hidden, were being celebrated. And I thought that that was a wonderful thing, because you can't be accepted if you're never seen. You'll be hearing from me, the agent said, the equivalent of don't call us, we'll call you. And 2 years passed with no phone call. And I said to myself, that's okay, it just wasn't meant to be. But one day the phone rang. And she said, you know, we're casting a Walgreens Red Nose Day campaign, and Mia's been selected to audition. So we drove to Hollywood, and the room was crowded with beautiful, perfect children who were going in and out of the audition room on their own. They looked so confident, and I couldn't help but wonder, are we supposed to be here? Mia was 6 at the time, but like many people with Down syndrome, she was petite. She looked like maybe she was 4 years old. And when they called her name and saw her face, you could just see them lose color. And they said, Mom, you wanna come in with her? I was so happy and so relieved, because I would have never let her go into that room by herself. I put myself in the back corner and watched them ask her lots and lots of questions. And she answered with clarity, humor, and heart. We were done in 5 minutes, and the next day she was booked for the commercial. So the filming day came, and we arrived on set. There was a sea of cameras, the director, producers, and stagehands, and I realized, oh my gosh, this is an unscripted commercial. They're asking kids to say in their own words how they should end childhood poverty. I mean, this is a heavy weighted topic. Is she gonna be able to do this? And at that point, I heard whispering behind me. One of the audio guys pulled the director aside and said, she's not gonna know what that means. You should skip that question. I stopped him gently and said, "Please, sir, could you give her a chance?" And she delivered. Oh, how she delivered. They asked, "What does every child need?" The other kids said, "Television." Mia, with her little lisp, said, "Friendship and soft bunnies." Then they asked, "If you had a superpower, what would it be?" She pointed right at that audio guy, the doubter, and said, "Turn him into a frog." The room exploded. The little girl they underestimated took command of the moment. She had flipped the script. That commercial aired nationwide and received millions of views. Mia's face appeared right in the thumbnail next to the so-called perfect kids. And the day I first saw it, the day it aired, I learned something very powerful. A little girl the world had encouraged me to discard was changing perceptions. Scripture tells us in 1 Samuel 16:7, people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God had given Mia the most beautiful heart, and I didn't know it then, but he was preparing her for something so much bigger than this mama could have ever imagined. Every commercial, every TV appearance, every moment, God was pointing her to something bigger. This was all preparing us for Mia to speak about the value of her own life. So in 2024, we got a DM from Students for Life in her Instagram account, and they were asking for Mia to speak out against abortion. She was 13 years old at the time, and I prayed so hard about it. I didn't know whether I should explain age appropriately, if there is such a thing, what abortion is, or why she was being asked to speak. And so I talked to trusted advisors, and my husband and I agreed we would rather explain to Mia what abortion is and why they were asking her to speak than have her peers in middle school tell her what it was. And when I first explained it to her, I was afraid, but it's interesting. She inherently already knew the truth. All she needed to know was what she was fighting for. She knew she was fighting for all babies to be born, but her voice would be raised extra loud for babies with Down syndrome and disability. So we accepted the invitation, and I watched my daughter stand in the middle of Times Square and fight for the unborn. Her words held so much power than ever before because she knew she was advocating for her own people. Jesus said in John 9, when asked who sinned to cause a man's disability, "Neither the man nor his parents. This happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." Friends, Rose Day is about changing perspective. Life is not disposable. Love doesn't abort the inconvenient. Love shows up. The cross itself was God's yes to life in the face of death, while the world shouted, "End it." Heaven whispered, "Redeem it." An unplanned pregnancy can displace dreams and feel like captivity, but displaced captives are the key to the story. I know it because I've lived it. The child I was told not to have became the clearest picture of who God is, and only God could write a story like ours. And now it is my greatest honor to introduce you to someone who reminds us that life is beautiful, that friendship matters, and yes, in today's political climate, everyone needs soft bunnies. My daughter, my joy, my teacher, Mia Armstrong.
Thanks.
Hello, Oklahoma. Thank you so much for being here today. And thank you, Mom. I love you very much. My name is Mia Armstrong. Today is a special day. Yesterday, I turned 15 years old. And instead of having a big birthday party, I decided to spend my birthday here with you.
I'll help.
Can I tell you why? Because someone in my life was worth protecting. My parents chose life for me. And today I'm standing up for life. People always ask me, Mia, why are you so passionate about ending abortion? And I say, because I'm living proof that every life has purpose. People with disabilities should be celebrated, not eliminated. Down syndrome does not define me. It is one small part of who I am. Doctors tried to convince my mom and dad not to give me life. Let me ask you a question. Do I look like I'm jumping to you? Newsflash, I'm not. When the doctor told my mom that I might have Down syndrome, she said these three words. I'm so sorry. Well, she should be sorry. Sorry for not believing in me. Sorry for pretending how she knew how my life would turn out. She didn't know. She couldn't know. And that's exactly the problem. When we decide whose lives are worth living based on diagnosis, we are discriminating before any child takes a breath. That is wrong, and it needs to stop. Well, doctor, it turns out I'm an actress, I'm a model, and I'm the first child of Down syndrome to voice a cartoon on Netflix.
Thanks.
My character's name is Eon. She's a superhero, and that's pretty perfect, because I say Down syndrome is my superpower. Last Christmas, I made history again to be the first child with Down syndrome to star in a featured film. It is called A Christmas and New Hope. I play a character named Charlie. A girl with a big heart and big dream. Making that movie taught me something important. Doing meaningful things takes hard work. Like changing culture, for example. It is easy, but it's worth it.
Yep.
But it's worth doing. My mom always tells me I can do hard things, and I believe that. One of my dreams was to become a published author. I wrote a children's book called I'm a Masterpiece. It's about inclusion, kindness, and living life with Down syndrome. Good Housekeeping magazine called it a must read. In the book, I say don't stare, don't look away, do say hello. We might be different, but we're also a lot alike. That message matters here today. Rose says by changing hearts, changing minds, and changing laws. To the parents here today, your child's life matters. To the children here today, to the children here today, your life matters. To the parents here today, your vote matters. And to our legislators and leaders, your decisions matter. The shape whether children like me are welcomed into this world or written off before we're ever born. Here's the truth. I've accomplished a lot in my life, but you know what I've done makes me worthy? Is that I'm human. My greatest accomplishment wasn't acting, modeling, or writing a book. My greatest accomplishment was just being born. And today, many babies with Down syndrome are never given that chance. Here's an idea. Why don't we make them disappear instead?
There we go.
Making myself laugh. The abortion industry is working hard to make people like me disappear. I'm not going anywhere.
Instead.
And either are millions of people with disabilities. Who enrich this world every single day. So here's my question for you. Will you stand with me?
Right.
Will you protect life not just in words, but in laws? Will you choose compassion over convenience? You don't have to be famous to make a difference. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be brave. Use your story, your voice, and your courage. When necessary, use your sass. Trust me, it works. Rose Day is a reminder that truth changes hearts and courage changes history. So let me hear you say courage.
Courage.
Oh, truth. Let me hear you say courage.
Courage.
Stand up. Speak out. Because together, we are pro-life generation. Together, we can protect the most vulnerable. Together, we can change the world. This is our moment. This is our time. And let's go make history. Thank you. Peace.
This is Brian Hobbs again. Thank you again for tuning in to this episode and for hearing those stirring remarks from Kara and Mia Armstrong. Rose Day will continue as an event as we encourage the protection of unborn life in helping mothers who are abortion vulnerable. Again, go to roseday.life for more information and tune in to Baptist Messenger podcast for a couple episodes every month. Thank you again. God bless.